local.
Live and local.
This is Sacktown Sports.
Styles and Watkins, Sacktown Sports, taking you up to 2 p.m. A lot of conversations to be had. You have Jacoby Brissett now trying to stay on the field. I'm just curious in these situations, brother, what was going on?
Yeah.
Right? Had you honestly not been
stretching? I would wrap myself up in plastic wrap. You're not going to see me. I'm going to be in bubble wrap, all that for the next couple days. The second I'm named starter with a couple days left, I'm like, Coach, you sure you don't just want me breaking down film or something? Mm-hmm. Like, you really want me out there? It's just, you know, I know you
but it is the Commanders, reps, I mean, and what's the... Well, he's got to get ready for his... I don't know what the contract is with the Commanders, but he's got to get ready for his next backup role.
Right, wherever that
somewhere.
Is.
And, well, it's funny because we talk about different types of quarterbacks.
Right.
He is just your standard back. You have bridge guys.
Yep.
He's not even a bridge guy.
No.
He is almost an emergency guy.
Yeah.
If you could be a non-starter quarterback, what type of quarterback would you want to be?
I really like the McCown, like the just career backup. I have no problem with that. To me, that's the best job there is in sports. I mean, of course, you're one play away from potentially having a mountain of pressure on your back,
right.
But to just kind of know, like, there's no way I'm getting in this game, even if this dude throws four interceptions today. Probably not even going to see the field, and there's no illusion of, trying to compete. Of course, like, I don't know, just a lunch pail guy. That would definitely be my backup quarterback lifestyle that I would want to live. Just being comfortable, knowing who I am, and maybe you can go out there and have a Gardner Minshew kind of season. I think Gardner Minshew would probably be where I would want to be. Like, a really good backup, somebody who comes in and, you know, he doesn't completely, you know, sink the ship, but... Mm-hmm. There's no illusion that dude's your future.
No. Well, Gardner Minshew, when was that? It was before, it was prior to...
I think he was the Eagles backup last year, right?
It was Eagles, but before Eagles...
It was Jacksonville.
It was Jacksonville. That's where the Minshew mania, when that whole thing happened.
Totally.
So that was going on. And then you get to Eagles, and I tell a lot of people, I was saying, if Jalen didn't start out hot...
Yeah.
If Jalen didn't start out hot... There could have been some Minshew mania happening there, and obviously Jalen has his best his best season, and now you have Minshew trying to do his thing with the Colts.
Right. But there's, of course, no illusion in Indianapolis either. Like, he's not going to take Anthony Richardson's
spot. But I was interested. I used to talk about this with the road as far as when the Niners still had Trey Lance, and it was, hey, we are trying to figure out what the runway is for Trey Lance, right? And if Trey Lance messes up, you have Jimmy Garoppolo, when it was completely different with Anthony Richardson, where you were going to give him the whole season. And I said, okay, let's say Gardner Minshew snuck the Colts into the playoffs. Do you think that would have changed their thought process on Gardner Minshew or Anthony Richardson?
No.
And people are trying to tell me, I don't know. I think it would. No.
No, brother. Absolutely not. No. Anthony Richardson is the future of that franchise, and I don't think there's any doubt about it. And, like, Gardner Minshew, it's a fine season. He, in certain aspects, saved their season, if you want to call it that. But at the end of the day, like, there's no illusion that dude is going to take, especially a guy like Anthony Richardson, who's got all the tools he does. There's no way he's taking that spot.
All right. Let's now talk to Lake Lewis Jr., Commanders Insider for ABC News. Lake Lewis Jr., thank you for being on the show with us, our last show of 2023, so we had to talk some Niners Commanders. How you doing, my friend?
I'm good. I appreciate you guys having me on, and happy holidays.
Happy holidays to you as well. So this broke a little over an hour ago. I don't know how much information is out there with Jacoby Brissett. What do you know about the quarterback situation, his tight hamstring? Could they go back to Sam Howell? And just your thoughts of the Commanders deciding to bench Sam Howell and go with Jacoby Brissett.
Yeah, I mean, you know, so Jacoby does have, a tight hamstring. And, you know, I'd be surprised if he doesn't play. And the reason why I say that is because it's an opportunity for him. Mm-hmm. You know, he's basically getting a chance to audition, I think, alongside Eric Bieniemy and Eric Bieniemy's offense. So, you know, if these guys can perform well together, Brissett and Eric Bieniemy, which they've done over the past two games in the second half, you know, they could be here next year with under a new coaching staff. So I think he'll play. As far as the benching of Sam Howe, I was a little shocked because he's gone this long this year. You know, he played every snap pretty much up until the last 2 weeks. And, you know, there were games earlier in the year, guys, where, like in New York, for instance, against the Giants, where he was really struggling. And we were sitting up in the press box thinking, well, maybe this is the game they'll just, you know, take him out the game, not so much to bench him, but to kind of just, you know, get a spark in that particular game, but to kind of hide him because he was struggling, and they didn't do it. So then they go ahead and they do it a couple weeks ago when the season is pretty much over. So it was a kind of a surprise to a lot of us that cover the team, but we understood why they were doing it because they are trying to hide him and not totally have him go in the tank.
Lake, I think you can provide a really valuable insight for some fans here in Northern California, specifically when it comes just to the other NFC East opponents and those that will probably get in the Niners' way of potentially getting to another Super Bowl. What's been your view this season on the Cowboys and the Eagles? And just from your perspective of playing the Commanders, I mean, do you feel like they're Super Bowl worthy teams? And you know, from the Eagles' perspective as well, like they're clearly not as good or as dominant as they were last year. What do you see as the cap for that team?
Yeah, I think as far as the Eagles are concerned, I think they're the only team I really truly believe in the NFC that poses a viable threat to San Francisco as far as having to go out there your way and win on the road. I think, you know, because there's familiarity with them playing each other. Obviously, we remember the last time they played in Philadelphia right up the road from here. You know, you guys came over there and demolished them, you know. So, obviously, I think that kind of – I think that kind of knocked the edge off Philadelphia a little bit. You know, maybe I could even use the word arrogance.
Yeah.
You know, they were feeling pretty good about themselves. No pun intended, but they were flying high. And, you know, San Fran came in there and just beat them down. And ever since then, you saw them lose to the Cowboys. But I tell people right before the 49ers game, the Eagles had to come back and win an overtime game against Buffalo. So you already started to see a little bit of, you know, kinks in the armor, and they were just fully exposed by the 49ers. But I think they're the best team to have a legitimate shot to go into San Francisco. And do I think they'll win there? No, I don't. But I think they would have the best shot. Dallas, to me, is just an offensive-laden team that if you lean on them a little bit, so to speak, you know, they're just not as physical as far as offensively. They have a great defense, but that defense can't stop the run, and that's obviously what – Christian McCaffrey it does best. So I don't see anybody beating San Fran to get to the Super Bowl. I really don't.
If it's not going to be this season, Lake, I'm not sure when it will be. Talking to Lake Lewis Jr., Commanders insider for ABC News. Lake, the Commanders looking forward to the future. The Commanders right now tied with the Patriots for the third pick in the draft. Is the obvious answer here that they're going to go with a quarterback, or is, you talked a little bit about Jacoby Brissett and a possible tryout situation if he's able to go. Even if the Commanders take down the Niners, right? Is it basically assumed that the Commanders will go after one of these top quarterbacks in a fairly deep quarterback class?
See, I would say that it's not. And the reason why I say that is because when you're a bad football team like this team is, you know, and you have a top pick, you know, you have needs all across the board. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm not so sure that Marvin Harrison Jr., if he does come out, isn't the best talent in the draft. He's right. That good. But then, of course, Caleb Williams is a great player who happens to be from D.C., so that's a marketing boom for a new ownership group. And then, you of course, Drake May and Kid Daniels just won the Heisman. I'm Penn State alum, so you know I like Fashanu quite a bit as a left tackle. I think he's a generational talent at that position. And you know, if you want to go that route, that has to be because you're pretty certain of who you have on your roster at the quarterback spot. So if you would ask me that right now, truth serum, I would say they may be looking at a quarterback as a fresh face. But it just depends on how these last two games, you know, are played.
Lake, I was curious. I mean, earlier this year, the Niners did make a move with Washington to bring over Chase Young. What were your thoughts on that move? And what were your thoughts also just on Chase Young's career up until that point? Kind of, you know, I know he dealt with some injury history, but had a pretty decent rookie season, was obviously taken pretty high in the draft. Just what were your thoughts on that move and Chase's career up to that point?
Well, half of us here in town were split on that. Some were happy to see him go, and then guys like myself thought it was a bonehead move, to be honest with you, because, you know, when you're not that good, sometimes you put an onus on some of your players that clearly have more talent than others to do too much. And the problem I had with the trade of Chase, as well as Montez Sweat, the other defensive end at the time, was they were playing in a pretty bad system, you know, a pretty bad antiquated defensive scheme under Jack Del Rio. And it just didn't utilize their strengths. You know, these guys are kind of guys that are, you know, uber athletic, so they can do a little bit more freelancing around. And Jack didn't like that. They hated it, actually. And they just wanted them to play from within a certain position, a certain box. They lined up, you know, hands down in the same spot every single play. So, of course, opposing offenses, these offensive coordinators today are just geniuses. You know, they schemed around them and it made them kind of, you know, non-effective. So I was upset with it. And then on top of that, you trade them to a team that's in your conference that if you ever are going to be any good, you're going to have to go through. And then on top of that, you trade them to a team that already has two other Vipers, one's a friend of mine, Trent Williams, that were already PO'd to be, you know, out of Washington. So now come Sunday, it's going to be three former Washington guys that are, you know, they've got hell to pay.
Yeah, I definitely. And, you know, there's going to be a nice homecoming there as well. It's going to be, I think even if the game is whatever, there'll still be some good storylines, which is what we always look for. Lake, just a couple more for you. It's been great stuff so far. Thank you for joining us, talking to Lake Lewis Jr., Commanders insider for ABC News. Lake, what would be your guess? We're really digging into the crystal ball with you for the future of the Commanders. What happens with Coach Ron Rivera? And I think it's more interesting, what the heck happens with Coach Eric Bieniemy?
Yeah, well, I can tell you right now, you know, Black Monday comes, it's going to be a full swipe. You know, everyone on the coaching staff will be let go. There's no question about that. You know, as far as Eric, you know, maybe I should say everyone and Eric has a chance, but I'm at the point right now where I feel like Eric will be let go as well. Mm-hmm. And I just think that they're going to go and start this thing over from the ground up. And, you know, again, if they go out and catch lightning in a bottle and they beat the 49ers and they beat the Cowboys, let's just say the Cowboys, you know, still have a game to play for as far as their positioning, or maybe even an outside chance to win the NFC East division, which was eerily similar to last year. The final game of the season was against the Cowboys, and it was Sam Howell's first start, and the Cowboys played all their starters, you know, through three quarters. So right. It could be a situation like that, and if they play well and get a win or two with Jacoby Brissett, it really changes the narrative on Eric Bieniemy. But as of now, guys, I think not that I think, I know 95% of those guys will be gone on Monday, the day after the season ends.
Interesting. So, Lake, I mean, you kind of had a good perspective on Eric Bieniemy this season. What do you think has just gone wrong with his search to finally get that head coaching spot? I mean, it felt like, you know, when he was in Kansas City, obviously that's a name that's going to get thrown into just about every head coaching job, but he never ended up getting it and almost felt like he had to move to Washington just to get away from the attachment to, oh yeah, he's good, but he has the Chiefs offense. Anyone could be good with that. What was your view this year kind of Eric Bieniemy, and do you think that he should eventually get that head coaching job?
I mean, that's a great question. And, you know, I'm one of the guys here in town here because I'm I'm pretty cool with Eric. And, you know, we've talked after games before on what they need to do and do better. And, you know, the problem has been, you know, kind of self-inflicted at times by Eric because he doesn't run the football a lot. And Brian Robinson is a really good young running back that's more of a physical guy that could have helped your young quarterback. Well, they didn't run the ball a lot, but I always tried to forewarn people, not, you know, up until maybe the last year or two in Kansas City with Pacheco, since they got him last year, they didn't really run the football a whole lot in Kansas City. Right. If you look at the numbers, you know, they clearly were a pass first team, pass second team, pass third team, if you look at the numbers. So, you know, I think that was a problem. The other thing is that I think people have to now give him the benefit of the doubt and the fact that he basically was starting a rookie quarterback. Mm-hmm. And you go from Patrick Mahomes, you know, clearly one of the top five quarterbacks ever with the chance to go down maybe as the GOAT, you know. So you have that kind of talent, and now you're basically hands-on training a rookie quarterback with, by the way, the worst offensive line in football. So, you know, it's hard to get a fair, true assessment of what Eric can do if he had his guys in tow. And I think that that's something that, you know, Josh Harris, the new owner, they're going to have to take a look at, is that, you know, this guy has had some success with the offense. I mean, you know, it's clearly better than what it was under Scott Turner for the past 3 years, but it still could have been a lot better. So, again, it's going to be interesting to see what happens with Eric, but I think he's kind of separated himself from the rest of the group that's been here for years. Those guys are gone. With Eric, will he be willing to come back as an offensive coordinator again? But the question is it depends on what kind of coach you're going to hire. Because, guys, if you hire an offensive mind,
right,
you don't want them clashing, and that won't happen. But if you hire, you know, maybe McDonald from the Ravens, you know, who's a defensive coordinator, maybe he says, hey, I'll keep Eric and let him continue to build the two quarterbacks that we have, and then you draft the offensive tackle. So lots of variables, guys, out there.
Yeah, and honestly, if you're Washington, hey, the fact that you felt like you had to come here, that doesn't really have anything to do with us, right? We got to do what's best, and, you know, we see this stuff happen in different careers, no matter what. Business is business all the time. Yeah, like, I just thought about this as you were talking, because earlier in the season, if I'm not mistaken, there was a report, this is really early, I don't even know if the season had started yet, where some of the players had an issue with how Bieniemy was coaching them.
Yeah, that wasn't true. And I actually refuted it as soon as it came out.
Yeah.
You know, guys, I hate to say this, but there's a lot of, you know, you guys know the business and you know the league. There's a lot of things that sometimes are asked to be put out for certain reasons.
Right.
And at that particular time, you know, it's not just me, but a lot of folks who cover the team, but know people who cover, you know, as far as in the building, so to speak, as far as other coaches.
Mm-hmm.
Listen, I talked to a lot of the frontline players at the time, including Sam Howell. Right. And they were like, that's not true. If it is, it's not one of us. It's not, put it like this, if it happened, it wasn't a starting frontline player because no one owned up to it. Everyone ran away from it when it came out, except for Ron Rivera. He sat on it and said, yeah, somebody came to me, but he wouldn't say who. And a lot of us thought that was rather odd at the time for him to say that, considering this team's been horrible for how long.
Right.
No, as I call them here on a segment I do, buns, that's what we call them.
Right.
Means no player who's never had success has any legs to stand on to say someone's coaching them too hard, especially a guy that's coming from the defending Super Bowl champions. And the next day, you guys saw what happened. All the Kansas City guys, I mean, Mahomes, Kelsey, even Tariq Hill, Miami, they all came out and said, no, this guy's a great guy, great leader. He's made me a better man. So it was just odd, but I think there was some jealousy already starting to swirl, and that's the kind of stuff that we deal with here in Washington.
Wow. Well, look, Lake, I hope it turns around for you. I hope you either package that pick or do whatever you got to do to get Washington back on the right track. I have some friends out there as well, some Commander fan friends, and I'm wishing you the best. Lake Lewis Jr., Commanders and NFL insider for ABC News. Lake, this was great. Let's do this again in the new year. Thank you so much, and happy holidays. Happy New Year.
All right. I appreciate you guys for having me on. Anytime, just let me know.
All right. Awesome. Got to get to a break. When we get back, it's 12:23, which means it's time for King's Talk.
Oh, yeah.
That's right. And the round table is upon us with Brendan Nunes and Frankie Cardicelli. Styles and Watkins, Sacktown Sports.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Transform your home in one weekend and get big savings on everything for your project at Menards. Menards carries the largest selection of Purdy painting tools you need to get your painting project started. From brushes, paint, roller covers, and even paint kits. Hurry in and save big money on Purdy painting supplies. Get everything you need for your painting project at Menards. Plus, check out Menards.com for more great deals happening now.
Save big money at Menards.
This is the story of the one. As a maintenance engineer, he hears things differently. To the untrained ear, everything on his shop floor might sound fine, but he can hear gears grinding or a belt slipping. So he steps in to fix the problem at hand before it gets out of hand. And he knows Granger's got the right product he needs to get the job done, which is music to his ears. Call, click Granger.com, or just stop by. Granger, for the ones who get it done.
It's lunchtime at Tim Hortons, and we're serving up a special deal just for you. Our new $5.99 lunch deal includes your choice of any lunch sandwich and a side of crunchy kettle chips. Because what's lunch without a little crunch? And the sandwich choice is all yours, like a ham and Swiss, Chipotle chicken wrap, BLT, and more. Made to order just the way you like it. Tim Hortons' new lunch deal. Simple, delicious, and just $5.99. Now that's a good deal. Only at your neighborhood Tim's. U.S. only. Price and participation vary. Terms apply.
Sacktown Sports.
Check us out on YouTube.
Search Sacktown Sports and subscribe.
Styles and Watkins, Sacktown Sports, taking you up to 2 p.m. All guests and callers join us from the Folsom Lake Honda hotline. Folsom Lake Honda, your one-stop Honda shop, just like our guest Lake Lewis Jr. did, Commanders and NFL insider. Great stuff from Lake. Thank you. And we are giving good energy to the Commanders and the Commanders fan base as they try to figure things out. But it is time to turn the corner to the Kings. The Kings Roundtable. I was going to say Kings Corner. That could have worked as well when there were only three of us. But the Kings Roundtable is here. And Brendan Nunes and Frankie Cardicelli are coming with the heat for the last round table of 2023. Fellas, how you doing?
I'm good. I'm good, man.
Don't give me that.
What?
Don't give me good. What do you mean? Don't tell me you're doing well.
We have to come in and just start getting aggressive? Like,
that's right. We're out here.
Yeah, there we go.
That's what Brendan is out here.
Slap the floor, man.
On social media, saying a lot of different things, a lot of proposed trades.
I mentioned trades one time. Alan's like, all right, we're cooking.
No, that we will get into for sure. I wanted to talk about first, before we get into the upcoming games, the offseason from the Kings. We and Chris talked about this a little bit last show. The Sasha Vezenkov and the moves that were made, do you feel like it was purposely done that Monty McNair and the front office, for lack of a better term, played it safe? Because you had just gotten to the playoffs and you didn't want to make any crazy moves. And that's part of bringing back Harrison Barnes, who a lot of people were hot and cold on. Hey, we just got to the playoffs. The last thing we're going to be responsible for is trying to make a move too quickly. And let's say we don't make the playoffs the next season, we would get destroyed.
I think that the wording you hear a lot from the front office, Monty McNair and them, is aggressive yet disciplined. And so I think that they were out there looking for ways to make the team better. Mm-hmm. But being picky with who they decided would be that person. Like, there was a lot of noise around Kyle Kuzma. I would guess they didn't end up liking that number figure, but it doesn't mean they didn't explore it, right? Maybe they thought about Jeremy Grant, saw the price tag, and was like, whoa, I don't know about that.
Don't get Chris started on the Jeremy Grant price tag.
It's a little spicy. But, I mean, I think that they tried, that they went and looked. Yeah. They just decided there were no better options, and we can currently go into the year with this team and have flexibility for when a ideal move does present itself that they can still capitalize on it. So I think that they looked, and I go back to that wording they use a lot of, aggressive yet disciplined. And I think that this was, you know, maybe more so one of those discipline moments because they didn't love what they saw.
That's how I try to live my life too.
Aggressive. I try.
Aggressive, but disciplined.
Aggressive, but disciplined.
You left emphasis on the aggressive. Yeah.
Aggressive.
Aggressive.
And disciplined.
That's like in the media room on game nights, how you just have one cookie.
Yes, well, exactly.
Yeah, one cookie. And popcorn.
And popcorn. That's the aggressive part.
You and I always we toil over that. What are we doing tonight?
We beat ourselves up.
And then we end up just kind of doing everything.
Yeah. So. Yeah. What'd you think about that, Frankie? When you look at, because I'm looking at a Sasha Vezenkov, who EuroLeague MVP, and that was supposed to be, I guess, the splashiest move, which hasn't really... I'll throw him in the starting lineup. I don't care. I'll throw him in over Herter. I went from Herter being better than Klay Thompson to now Sasha Vezenkov can start.
Is that the new poll? Yes. It went from...
Nate, we got a poll. Would you start Sasha Vezenkov over Kevin Herter? Thank you very much.
There's your poll.
Spicy.
No, I mean, I think that there's still a lot that remains to be seen with Sasha and where he fits, and especially this lineup. That's the one thing that we have not seen happen to this point yet. I mean, during to Mike Brown's tenure with the team, we have not seen him go with the starting lineup change outside of KZ Akpala and Keegan Murray at the beginning of last year, which was interesting to say the least. But that's kind of that one ace in the hole I'm looking at as far as, okay, the Kings have lost two games in a row, so the sky is not really falling. And I know it's not great watching them lose a game to the Portland Trail Blazers, by the way, that they did, allowing 130 points. But if they were to make a lineup change, it's kind of like a point of no return. As far as if Sasha Vezenkov got inserted over Kevin Herter, we've seen he's very streaky right now. He's going through a rough stretch. I think he's averaging 6 points per game over his last 10 on 24 from three. Mm-hmm. He's broken out of these almost before. But if he doesn't and you make that lineup change, that kind of opens up the floodgates as far as, okay, well, if you're moving him out of a starting lineup, I don't think Kevin Herter is a bench guy. So, like, where is the fit long term?
See, but Chris said that too. Chris said that too when I said if someone's not good enough to be in your closing lineup, then why start him? Chris, we're talking about him. Chris was saying to get him going, things like that. I don't know, man. I don't know why that bugs me.
I think with a player like Kevin Herter, or shooters really, I think the hope is that they can have it, like they have it that night. And I think with Kevin Herter, we really do know more times than not if Kevin Herter has it by the end of the first quarter. And if he doesn't, you often see Mike Brown move away. Now, I guess that does make sense as why that'd be frustrating. But I just think that Mike Brown is very stubborn. And I was on this morning with Dave and Jason, and someone was in the comments asking, why is Mike Brown so stubborn with these lineup changes? And I don't really have a clear answer. I mean, I think it's just because of, you know, repetition and just being in your own role. I think that feels comfortable, and being comfortable is important. But at a certain point, you have to have results. And right now, the results are not there. And looking at last game in particular, of a starting five, just completely laid an egg. I mean, outside of Fox and Sabonis, obviously, scoring 77, the fact that nobody else scores nine, that just simply can't happen. That cannot happen.
I mean, and that starting group played more than 150 minutes more than any other group last year and was really successful. Mm-hmm. You know, like, I think that there's not a clear better option is really what it comes down to. And Kevin has a built chemistry with that group. I still think even when shots aren't going down, he still has a gravity that really affects the spacing of the floor and helps open up the game for Domas and De'Aaron. And I mean, one of his biggest things that I always like to point out is that he sprints through everything he does. Like the pace is not just open court, it's half court as well for this team. And I think Kevin's like a really big part of that, you know, and we're still probably going to look at the end of the year and he's going to shoot 40% from three.
Yeah, and I was just wondering, I mean, to kind of build on Alan's initial question, like, I mean, we're 30 games pretty much into the Kings season. What would you guys give the offseason with hindsight being 2020? I mean, Alan mentions there that Sasha's kind of was the marquee piece when it's additions brought in, and I think we could all say without, you know, saying that it's over and close the book on it. Like, Sasha's been disappointing when it comes to what the expectations were versus what he's been. Duarte, I would also say, has been disappointing. What would you, JaVale McGee, there's all the minor additions that were made. If you guys had to give it a grade, Frank, we'll start with you. What would you give retroactively the Kings offseason?
I'd say like a C minus, because not much really changed. And that's kind of the problem, right? Like, not much really changed. Yeah. This is still, like, the top seven guys of the rotation are still the top seven guys of the rotation. You have your starters and you have Trey Lyles and Malik Monk off the bench. Those are still your guys that are playing the bulk of those minutes. And you have the guys that you kind of wanted to come in and be those glue guys falling short. I mean, Chris Duarte has not been great. Had some good defensive moments last game, I thought. But, I mean, it's still just not
enough.
Not enough. No, not good minutes. The whole body of work is not good.
Yeah.
Sasha, I feel like, had some good moments early in the season. And obviously he's kind of not someone you can play against athletic lineups. And that's an issue. But I think it is kind of that problem is, was it going to be enough? I think that was the biggest question, is keeping Harrison Barnes, bringing in Sasha, bringing back Alex Len, Duarte.
Sabonis extension.
Like, was all that enough to get them over the edge and have them go from a good team to a great team, which we hear a lot from Mike Brown, that coaching staff. And right now, I'd say right now they're kind of in the same spot, and they're not really taking that next step. And, yeah, I think that a C minus is probably the grade, with hopefully some room for improvement. But I'd be fully open to hearing anyone that has a worse grade, because it's kind of warranted, in my opinion.
I'd actually go a little higher. I guess I'd go with like a B. I think the Domas getting a 217, 5 mil is pretty big. Like, imagine how different and how much you guys would be sitting here talking about, like, are we sure the Domas is going to come back next year and this whole thing would just go to crap.
Yeah.
You know, like, getting him locked up, I think, was a big part of that. And I go B because I still, like, feel it kind of has to be TBD. You know, they maintain their flexibility, I think, is the biggest thing here. And they still can wait and take that swing. Like, I think the fact that you're kind of just in the same area, and there's been progress from De'Aaron Fox, there's been progress from Keegan Murray. I think Domas has taken some steps on the defensive end of the floor, even if he still has his clear shortcomings there. Like, you know, you could have done better than JaVale. I thought that one was pretty obvious, to be honest. Like, you came from a team that desperately needed a center and couldn't get run over there. That says a lot. You know, it's a different system, sure. Chris Duarte, been disappointing. You didn't really spend anything to get him.
Yeah.
And then Sasha, like, I'm still going to give him a little bit of time. I think there's been some encouraging things. There's getting used to the NBA game. I think that roster-wise, though, he's a little repetitive with Trey. They play him alongside each other a lot more than I ever would have thought. But I don't know that that's necessarily ideal for being productive on both ends of the floor. But I think that getting Domas locked up is, like, a huge aspect here. And that if that wasn't the case, this entire season could feel so different and feel so tense. You'd just be so on edge, I feel like, about, is this guy going to stay? And he's everything to this after De'Aaron.
You'd have that, and you'd also have what's going on with Malik Monk. So that's two guys that you'd be worried about. Hey, is this whole thing going to crumble? And not to mention, not to bring him up. And by the way, Chris showed me a funny video that we might talk about a little bit later with Tyrese Haliburton. Maybe, you know, trying to make sure he got those 20 assists.
If you
lose Domas and then you have the Tyrese Haliburton situation and you don't have him anymore, that's an even bigger nightmare. All right, got to get to a break. When we get back, we will continue to talk Kings with our Kings insiders. And Brandon Nunes, bust out the trade machine.
We cooking.
Styles and Watkins, Sacktown Sports.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Save big money at Menards. Add comfort to your life with Menards' great selection of Serta mattresses. Find the perfect mattress that fits your size and firmness needs. Hurry in today and pick up a Serta Gel memory foam mattress in a box on sale now through May 27. Take control of your comfort with Serta mattresses at Menards. And check out our weekly flyer on Menards.com for all the great deals happening now.
Save big money at
This is the story of the one. As head of maintenance at a concert hall, he knows the show must always go on. That's why he works behind the scenes, ensuring every light is working, the HVAC is humming, and his facility shines. With Grainger's supplies and solutions for every challenge he faces, plus 24/7 customer support, his venue never misses a beat. Call quickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
It's lunchtime at Tim Hortons, and we're serving up a special deal just for you. Our new $5.99 lunch deal includes your choice of any lunch sandwich and a side of crunchy kettle chips. Because what's lunch without a little crunch? And the sandwich choice is all yours. Like a ham and Swiss, Chipotle chicken wrap, BLT, and more. Made to order just the way you like it. Tim Hortons' new lunch deal. Simple, delicious, and just $5.99. Now that's a good deal. Only at your neighborhood Tim's. U.S. only. Price and participation vary. Terms apply.
Sacktown Sports. Call or text at 916-339-1140.
We are back. Styles and Watkins, Sacktown Sports. Taking you up to 2 p.m. Joined by our Sacktown Sports insiders, Brendan Nunez and Frankie Cardicelli. And we are about to fire it up for the last time in 2023. The Trade Machine. And it's not me this time. It's not me.
Yeah.
I've already gone hot takey. If you are part of the Sack Chat, we are asking you if you would start Sasha Vezenkov over Kevin Huerter. If you want to be a part of that conversation, feel free to chime in and vote. And by the way, on the Folsom Lake Honda hotline, 916-339-1140, don't forget, you can call in if you want to be a part of the conversation. If you have questions for Brendan Nunez or Frankie Cardicelli, please call in. Last Kings Roundtable of 2023. Have any questions, comments on some of the pieces that they have put out on SacktownSports.com? We are here for it, and it's time to turn it over. Speaking of those pieces, Brendan Nunez had something. See how I have shown you the way of the trade machine.
Yeah, oh my goodness.
It's once you go, it just no.
Just
going
wait
back.
Till it's like Warrior trades every day, and then I'll be fully. You
fully invested, you know. But and look, it's not just you. You know, Carmichael Dave all of a sudden is on this Wiggins hype. Chris and I talked about this 2 weeks ago.
Yeah.
They called me a madman.
They did. They sure did.
And now he's talking about it. All right, Brendan, take it away.
I've had people ask me about Wiggins for what it's worth as well.
Friends of the show.
You know, probably. Okay, first one I got in here. Okay, let me preface it with this. Right?
Here we go.
I think that there's different ways the Kings can look to get to a point where they're flirting with championship contention.
Okay.
You can go and get a third star if you feel like you need it. Or, I looked at Denver a little bit. You know, everybody's going to compare themselves to the championship team, but I think there's parallels. You got a playmaking big, you got a really dynamic guard, and you got this young, up-and-coming scoring wing. Murray plays both ends of the floor a little bit more than MPJ, right? Mm-hmm. And obviously, you got an MVP on Denver. But I think if you believe that De'Aaron is MVP caliber, then maybe you just need to upgrade the complementary pieces. Because right. KCP and Aaron Gordon are much better than Kevin Huerter and Harrison Barnes. Right. And you go back 3 years, they're starting Will Barton and Paul Millsap. Mm-hmm. Those guys sound like Kevin Huerter and Harrison Barnes, to be honest. Mm-hmm. A little bit more of an aging forward and a scoring two. Mm-hmm. You know, so they go out on the trade market and 1 year get Aaron Gordon. The year after, they go and trade for KCP in the offseason. So, who are some guys the Kings could look at to upgrade that Kevin Huerter and Harrison Barnes spot? First one I got here that I have mentioned to you guys before on the show is Dorian Finney-Smith. I'm a big fan. 30 years old. He's got 3 years left on his contract, including this season, including a $15.4 million player option, 25-26. Don't know the state of that and if he'd pick it up or what the case is there, but 6'7", 7-foot wingspan. Dude's got great, like, one of the few guys in the league that can legitimately guard 1-5. Mm-hmm. So, package I put together, right? Dorian Finney-Smith comes to Sac by himself for Harrison Barnes, Davion Mitchell, Sacramento's 2026 first. We'll go top four protected. Mm-hmm. Originally at top 10. You could finagle with whatever, right?
Yeah.
And then Portland's 2025 second. So, Barnes, Mitchell, a first, and Portland's second for Dorian Finney-Smith.
You don't think that's a little bit much for Dorian Finney-Smith?
I don't know, man. Okay, so I asked a Brooklyn guy what he kind of thinks the range
he's
for
got a guy.
Finney-Smith would be, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I don't want to out his name because I didn't say I was going to say this publicly.
Sure.
But Dorian Finney-Smith, I'd say, would be either two firsts, two late firsts, a quality first, or a first with a decent player.
One more time, can you say that? I'm sorry.
Either two late firsts,
okay,
a quality first, or a first with a decent player. I kind of went with the first and a decent player.
But
then
you did two.
And then
two
threw Davion in there. Well, the second, the other one's a second. The other one's a second.
Your guy didn't even want to have to throw Davion in.
You got
to
make salary. I think you needed it for salary. Or maybe you didn't actually, but I was looking at, they don't have a great backup point guard situation, even though I like how Dennis Smith Jr.'s kind of emerged there. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I was just trying to sweeten the pot a little bit.
I think you might have sweetened it too much.
You really want Dorian.
Yeah, I just think he's great.
From the Kings' perspective, like giving up a pick and Davion would just be, that's one asset too much. Because I still think if you're trading for Dorian Finney-Smith, there's still another move that needs to be made, and it'd be tough to make that move without one of those two
assets. That's exactly right, because based on your Nuggets model, that's right. Only number one.
Right.
You still need number two. So you got to.
And you could argue that number two is the bigger trade that you would have to make.
Yeah.
Potentially. Yeah. I'm surprised we're arguing over Davion here, to be honest.
I think
picks are a lot as
and
well.
And you get rid of two guys and bring in one, you got an open roster spot for Keon to fill.
Sure.
Which is going to have to happen at some point.
Okay, so we're a little torn on Dorian Finney.
I like the fit. I like the player. Mm-hmm. I definitely think bringing Dorian Finney-Smith to the Kings is like the exact kind of move the Kings need.
Yeah.
Like those around the edges kind of moves that they need. The only thing I have on my side is the first round pick, which I don't know. Maybe I'm not evaluating his talent properly, but I feel like the first should be kind of holstered for something a little more, like a little bigger. But I feel like there should be an avenue to make that work that doesn't include a first.
He's also making $13 million this year, so I actually think the Kings would have to get something back if they're getting rid of HB.
I think when I inputted it into my calculus here,
trade
machine.
If Brooklyn's
said it worked
over,
for what it's worth.
Okay.
But I get what you're saying. All right, we'll go to number two.
Let's hear number two.
Alex Caruso is a hot topic.
Okay, you have my attention.
Mm-hmm. And I'm trying to find. We'll start with again. What I got from a Chicago reporter, right? Asking about Caruso's value. To be honest, I don't think they're going to trade him. Maybe at the deadline if things continue to get worse, but what I've heard is a pick and a decent prospect. Decent prospect is hard for the Kings.
Colby?
Because after Keegan Murray, so I went with Colby. But you got to get matching salary in there with Herter, right? So the Kings get Alex Caruso and Terry Taylor thrown in there. This is pretty much just salary matching, right? Chicago would get Kevin Herter, Colby Jones, and that same first-round pick we talked about before, the 2026 first, I put top 10 protected. So again, Caruso and Terry Taylor come in a sack for Kevin Herter, Colby Jones, and a 2026 first-round pick.
I think I'm in.
Yeah, that might be one of those where you just do it just to get it done. I mean, you might not love what you give up, but at the end of the day, you get the right piece in there, and I think you got to kind of live with it. I mean, I do kind of feel like Kevin Herter. You might be selling Herter's stock a little bit short, but even then, I think you might just kind of need to get it done because Caruso, in my opinion, is like the perfect kind of guard, extra guard to bring in here.
Yeah. Caruso's 29, by the way.
He was first team All-NBA defense last
year. That's the thing. You're going defense over offense, which the Kings have a lot of offense right now, and obviously Kevin Herter's not been playing well. So that kind of can show, okay, you bring in a guy like Caruso, who, again, is no slouch. On the offensive end, he's shooting 44% from three, I believe. Yeah. I don't know how I'm on
44.9% on 3.4 a game.
Yeah, and he's playing good defense. Like you said, he was an all defense guy. The Kings need defense. They need defensive impact.
3.4 a game.
3.4 a
game. Yeah, we got to do that.
And to Alan's point, too, I mean, Caruso's a dude who can finish games. Like, there's no doubt that you're training Kevin, who is probably closer in a third of your games, for a guy in Alex Caruso who probably should finish more games than not. I mean, I would put him out there. I mean, I know you might have to make a weird lineup of like a three-guard lineup of Fox, Monk, Caruso, and then maybe like Murray and Sabonis. It's a little bit small, but I kind of think you just got to do it.
I mean, Caruso, I think, is super versatile. He's a like
point guard. He's a backup
too. I heard you talking about this the other day. Yeah, like
maniac.
6'5".
Maniac, for
got
sure.
Some sight.
Like getting every offensive rebound that he possibly could. And yeah, I mean,
just a winner.
I think of him as kind of Derek White, not to be the bald white guy, but
for sure,
you know, I
that's
think
a
that
hot name
there.
Now. All star,
I know.
Derek White.
Well, he can't play offense like Derek White this season, but
his nickname on Basketball Reference.
What nickname we got?
Bald Mamba.
Ooh,
I haven't
heard
that.
Too
one.
Many Mambas.
There are.
Yeah,
there definitely
stop with the Mambas.
Yeah.
No more Mambas.
Can we leave that in 2023?
Do we got time for one more? Or should I wait?
On the other side. We can do
the other side. We'll get to a break. Nate's giving me that look. When we get back, we are finishing the trade conversation. We will also look forward to the Kings record, and we will try to correctly predict what they're going to do starting tonight when they go to Hotlanta and try to get their first W in Hotlanta since 2019. Back more with our Sactown Sports insiders, Styles and Watkins, Sactown Sports.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.